Okay. Perk Yuzayin Pasuk Aleph in Shmuel Beis. Ve'imar Chitov Alav Shalom Evchara Nosh Nimzor Aleph Ish Ve'akumim Red Vachrei David Alayla. So the first, the second bit of advice Achitovel gave after the first one, which was the horrible advice of the 10 concubines. So he said to Avshalom, I choose for yourself, or I will choose 12,000 men. I'm going to get up, I'm going to run after David Melech tonight. I'm going to get him tonight. Bavolov, I'm going to go to him. Vuyagea, he's going to be extremely tired. Urfeyadav, he's going to be weak. Vachraditioso, and I will be able to frighten him. Vinaskolamashrito, all the people are going to be run away, the people that are with him. Vikesias Melech Levada, and I will kill only the king. I'm not going to kill everybody else. Everybody else will be able to live their normal lives. Everything's going to be okay. I'm going to kill just the king himself. Ashiva kol amelecha, kishuva kol ish, asheratam avakish kol ami yashalom. When after I return, I'm going to kill the man who you seek. Everybody's going to come back to you in peace. You won't have to worry about anything whatsoever.
What's his reasoning for being able to do this, or thinking?
His thinking is the following things. There were five elements that he said, and this is how the Avraham Avinu says it. In order to make this happen, there were five things that he wanted to do. Number one, I have to go immediately with a small force of top warriors, and at most 1,000 per tribe. I need to do whatever. I don't want to go ahead and like get a large army that's going to take considerable time. We can't give David HaMelech any time whatsoever while he's still sad and tired and weary, because he didn't bring provisions with him. He didn't bring horses with him. He walked all day and all night to get to where he is right now. We have to go right now. Number two, it's got to be a complete surprise. It's got to be a surprise and doing it at night itself. We've got to shock his forces into fleeing so that they're not ready for anything yet. That's number two when it came down to it. Number three, he said, Avshalom, do not come with. If you endanger your life and come with, you're going to have us have pity on your father. We need to make sure that we do everything we need to do. Number four, we must kill David. If David Melech is still alive, your ascent to the throne is going to be challenged. And if he's gone, there's nothing to fear, because the son then took over. And number five, he said, I am assuring you, I am going to bring back all the people. Everybody's going to be on your side. We just have to convince them. When David Melech's gone, there won't be any reason for them to go out. There will be you, and that's that. Now, the Mea Shiloh says that there's a sixth idea over here. He knew the power of David Melech's tefillah. If he allowed David Melech to have time to daven, then nothing good was going to come. And David Melech's tefillahs were so powerful, there's no way they would have survived. Absolutely no way it would have happened over here. He wouldn't be able to do anything. He knew he needed a Kadosh Baruch Hu's help. The tefillah would knock out that siyata d'shmaya that they had right at this moment. So he said, we do it right now, we'll be successful. If we don't, we're not going to be successful. So in Pasuk Dalet says, V'yishar Adav Rabbeinu Avshalom, V'nei Kol Zikne Yisrael. So when they first heard it, it seemed right in the eyes of Avshalom, the eyes of all the Zikne Yisrael. Right over here, it made a lot of sense when they had heard everything about this, right? And that was all out there. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was involved. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want this advice to be taken, and therefore he planted seeds of doubt over here, right? Now, the Sanhedrin, the Ziknei Yisrael, we don't know what this refers to. Is this Zikanim, meaning the Sanhedrin of Bnei Yisrael? Is this the elders, meaning the judges? Because those people would have likely been with David HaMelech, and not with Avshalom, his son. They must have known that there was faking going on Avshalom's part, and that Avshalom was not like this real deal type of person, that something was going on. But they may not have. We don't know. We have absolutely no idea who these Zikanim are. If they're there, it clearly is some type of message. Das Zikanim and the Radak, Das Sofer, I'm sorry, and the Radak both say that the 12,000 people that Achitofel suggested would be to unite Klal Yisrael all as one. And maybe the Zikanim were the older people, but not the Chachamim, but the older people from everybody around there. Maybe that's the idea behind it. Some say that what was right in his eyes is that when Achitofel said, I will kill David HaMelech, that I will be the one to kill David HaMelech, I'm going to be the one to kill him. Well, that might have said to him, he said, like, oh, phew, I don't have to do it. Because the one thing, as we said, that he was worried about was that. How is he going to do this? But all of this was really good. So we just mentioned a five-pronged plan to kill what Achitofel had suggested to take down David Melech. And that's what he said. It was good in his eyes. Pasuk Hey. V'yamrav Shalom. Krona gam l'chushay ha'arki. Call out Chushay ha'arki. V'nish mamba b'fiv gam hu. We want to hear what he has to say as well. V'yamrav Chushay ha'lov Shalom. Chushay kim tov Shalom. V'yamrav Shalom ha'lov. Lemar kadavar azet divar Achitofel. Right? This is what Achitofel had just said. Hanases devaro im ayin ato daver. Should we do what he says or not? Right? What's right over there? Right there is where Chazal pull it in and say, whoa, he didn't want to kill his father. The wording of Hanasa is Devaro, im ayin, ato daber. The words im ayin are unnecessary to say. They're extraneous, and especially for the Pasuk, it's a hint that the Pasuk is saying that Avshalom was trying to goad Chushai Arki to argue so that he wouldn't have to kill his father. that it was only one issue. He wanted to take over the kingdom. He wanted to make sure that everybody was subdued. He wanted all the people of David Melech to join him, but he didn't want his father dead. What better way could we do this in which we should go about? And again, as we said before, this is all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not because Avshalom was a deep thinker, and maybe there wasn't even that love that he had for his father, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it in his heart that he said, find me a way to argue with Achitofel. And this was the miracle. Achitofel, we just said, was like the word of God. When you heard him speak, everybody's like, whatever he says, go ahead and do. Nobody argued on Achitofel. For him to say this was Kilo, like so out of the blue, nobody could believe it. Now, Hushai had to be extremely careful. He's a spy. He's not allowed to argue and say, don't fight David HaMelech. He has to give him a better plan, and he has to do it on the spot. Maybe he thought about this beforehand, what would be the best way to be able to, whatever it is. Here's what he said. Hushai said, Tavshon lo tova, it's Ashiyot HaKitova Pamazos. It's not good what Achitofel said this time. He's, every other time it's been great, but this time I don't think it's good. Hushai said, you know your father. As a Noshav and all of his men. It's Yoav. It's Avisha. These guys are strong men, powerful men. Umari Nefesh Hema, they're also as bitter, Kidov Shakul Basada, like a bear bereft of its cubs in the middle of the field. Vicha Ish Mohammed, your father's a man of war. Lo Yalan Asaham. You think he's gonna make the people sleep tonight? You think he's gonna get them asleep? He may lull you into thinking that he's not ready to fight. He is 100% ready to fight, right? He's gonna be fighting from a position of desperation. They're gonna be highly motivated. They're gonna have extraordinary strength when it comes to this. So when you catch them at night, it's gonna be the opposite. You're gonna be rooted. Because David HaMelech is going to be waiting for you to fight at night. You're going to come in, you're going to say, it's a little too quiet. And it is a little too quiet, because they're going to come out of nowhere, destroy you, and they're for sure on guard against this attack. As for David HaMelech himself, you think David's going to be around? David's going to be hiding and allowing his troops to go and fight for him. Says Rashi in the Radak, he doesn't want to make any peace. He wants to destroy you. There's no way he's going to be anywhere near there, because he knows what you're going to do. Pasuk test. Bihine, atu nechba b'achzav sachim, al bet p'chasim. Now he's hiding in one of the pits of Akramakomos, or one of the other places. You can fall behem b'tchila, and when it happens that some of them fall at the outset, in other words, you're going to lose a bunch of people in the beginning. The Shoma Shomea v'Omar, somebody's going to hear that and say, Haysama geifa v'Omar shachar Avshalom. There was a plague on the people that were with Avshalom. What do you think that's going to do to the rest of the people? What do you think all the other people are going to say? Right? Vehu gam ben chayel, asher libo kleva ari himesimos. Right? He too, David HaMelech, is a valiant man. His heart is like the heart of a lion. Right? He will surely, right? I'm sorry. It's the other way. Even those who have hearts of lions, who are as strong as anything, nonetheless, they're going to melt when hearing these words. Because everybody knows how strong your father is. And they're going to say, like, look, if he was able, while running away and in his most bitter position, defeat the army that came across him and destroy what Avshalom sent against him, the 12,000 men against the few hundred that were with David, imagine what he's going to do later. Everybody's going to give up, and they're going to say, let's go back to David HaMelech. That's exactly what they're going to do. And he says, I don't know what it's going to be over here. Said the Medrash, the man with the heart of a lion was a reference to Achitofel. Even Achitofel is going to pause when he has to slay David HaMelech. You think it's going to be easy for him to go up to David HaMelech, his own great-grandson-in-law, and slice off, chop off his head? You think that's going to be easy? Achitofel is speaking big right now. As soon as we go there, I'll chop off his head. I'll take care of it myself. You really think Achitofel is going to have the strength to do that? Where do you think Yoav and Avishai are going to be? Where do you think that's going to happen? Achitofel is not known for his military prowess, right? That's not what he's known for. How do you think this is actually going to happen? That's what he told him. And it says, Ki ya'atzti, here's what I counsel. Ha'osif ya'asef alecha kol Yisrael midan ve'er sheva. Gather to you all of an Israel from Dun till Be'er sheva. Kechol asher alayam larov. Like the sand upon the sea, as many as you can get.
Panecha holchem b'kro. This is the first time you hear about anybody outside of Shevet Yehuda and Binyamin. During the story. His entire story is really just like...
We did say Yisrael, that Yisrael accepted him, but you're right. It seems more likely that it was more local Yisrael, than Yehuda. I mean, but it did say that Yisrael accepted him before.
They accepted Avshalom, meaning everybody Avshalom. Had accepted Avshalom?
Yeah, the wording was Yisrael. The wording that we used was Yisrael, not Yehuda. Le'enei kol Yisrael. Everything we've used was Yisrael, not Yehuda. It's not much of a raya, because I don't know how much
contact. He was doing
contact.
Things, and maybe word got out.
Word got out. So, you know. But if he was smart, he was getting B'nai Yisrael behind him.
No, but that's why this sounds like a good idea. At at least because...
Which one, Achitophel?
No, Hushai. He's saying, listen, gather up a support around everybody. Right now, it's just you and your 12,000 men against who knows what he's got.
Who knows? Well, they knew what he had. They knew he only had a couple hundred.
But he's got, like, the...
But yeah, the strongest warriors out there, without a question. See, this is what he's saying. And he's saying, we're going to camp against them, like the dew upon the earth, there's going to be hundreds of thousands of us. There will be nothing left of them whatsoever. Now, this is weird advice coming from Hushai. Achitophel said, we need his men. We just need David dead. So leave, if we get David, everybody else will come to our side. Hushai's suggestion is kill everyone. Okay. You don't want the supporters of David HaMelech. Overcome them, surround them, so that literally there's nowhere for them to go. They're surrounded by all the people around them. And then afterward, there's no choice. What else are you going to do over
here? Hushai already, I mean, doesn't tell us. Just as Hushai kind of left and be like, how is David HaMelech going to know what Hushai is telling us?
Hold on. Well, remember, the two sons of the Kohanim, they're right around there or there, and that's that. And also, he said the dew on the day, on the ground, you should do it during the day. Not at night, because you have no idea where he is. There's so much stuff out there, and Davino for sure is a master of the land. We have no tacticians. We don't have Avishai. We don't have Yoav. We don't have the master tacticians here. They have them. This is not a good idea.
The Mishkan was around, and Avshalom more or less had control of it, right?
The Urim Tumim?
Yeah.
Not sure if
didn't David send it back with those two Kohanim?
I'm not sure he knew that. That's a good question. Not sure he knew that, or if they didn't hide the Urim Tumim.
His initial thought of, like, Achitophel approached with the idea, his initial thought should have been, let me ask the Urim Tumim, not Hushai.
No, that's a really, really good call. You know what I just thought of, though? That is strange. I know it's strange for us to think about this. The Kohen Gadol was not able to wear the Choshen outside of the Mishkan itself. How would he have brought the Urim Tumim to David HaMelech? I guess you can do it if you feel like you have to run, and therefore it's mutter, but it would have been strange. Right at that time. Now, I realize there is no Beis HaMikdash. It's only a Mishkan. And even the Mishkan was sort of destroyed because they didn't have everything together, although he had brought the Aron back. So it wasn't really Mishkan. Right there, I don't know. Maybe they didn't know what the Urim HaTumim was. Maybe the Urim HaTumim wasn't
the Urim HaTumim. Does the Urim HaTumim tell the person what's good for them or tell them what God
wants?
No,
if it's a Melech, then it works. And maybe Achitophel, I don't know, maybe Avshalom didn't know.
Avshalom knew he didn't have a status of a king yet because he hadn't completely consolidated
his power.
Yeah,
maybe because he hadn't done it. You say also, by the way, there is a famous Rush that says that since the beginning of the middle of David's reign, that Urim HaTumim never worked again. If you notice, we never use the Urim HaTumim from this point forward till the end of the Beis HaMikdash. It's never used. The last time it was used by David HaMelech in one of the wars, and that was it. There is a Rush that says that. He brings no proof, no medrash. He just says, we don't see it.
But you don't see
we don't see it ever again. We'll never see it ever again.
Maybe once there was a monarchy, there was no need for it anymore.
It is strange when we say, like, a melech has to ask the Urim HaTumim.
Why?
I don't know, but it is brought down.
Because before there's a melech,
war.
Right, but maybe what the king says, that's what you do. Before that,
strange,
you have Shoftim.
It's a melech that asks the Urim HaTumim. You have to have the melech ask.
Where do we see that the melech has
Yuma,
to ask?
Yuma, I'd have to look. Lamed Vav, Lamed Zayin, somewhere around there.
That came after the Tanakh.
Yeah, 100%, which is even stranger, right? Because that would be strange. Then you'd say it would be just the opposite. No, right. No king's ever asked, aside from David. And David only asked, seemingly, when he wasn't king.
Right.
That is strange. Okay. V'imel ir yeah safe. If he retreats to a city, v'isiu kol Yisrael la'irahi, then all Bnei Yisrael will take ropes to that city. Chavalim, they'll take ropes. V'sachav nosal anachal, will haul it into a ravine. Adesher lonim tesham gamtur, until there's not even a pebble there. Right? That's the idea behind it. We're not going to worry about anything whatsoever. Maybe he's hinting with the pebble to the pebbles that he shot at Goliath, you know, when he threw it at him. Anyway, v'yomer v'shalom v'chol Yisrael, toiva atzas chushay arki me'atzas Achitophel. Better is the eitz of chushay arki from the eitz of Achitophel. Hashem did this. He wanted to ruin the Eitz of Achitophel Atoiva, which was really good. To bring to Avshalom everything that was evil over here. Again, it was Avshalom and all the men of Yisrael. Not the Zakanim, all the men of Yisrael over here. Now, the reason why it might be over here, the elders did not, they recognized that Achitophel's plan was the better of the two. But the men liked Hushai's plan better than Achitophel. Why? The men were worried for their lives. They were about to go to war. To be together with another 100, 200, 300,000 men at war is going to be a lot easier than going as 12,000 people against David HaMelech. Meaning, the Anshei Yisrael, the Ish Yisrael that were with Avshalom, were scared out of their minds to fight David. So when they heard an excuse like, let's wait a little bit, they're like, yep, that's it. That's what we're doing.
How did they find themselves with Avshalom then?
How did these guys?
Yeah.
It's not that they didn't believe in Avshalom being the king of Klal Yisrael. They believed in Avshalom. But they knew David was powerful, and they knew Yoav and Avishai were powerful. They did not want to go up against him. Remember, the person who was going to be in charge, Amasa, was also a nephew of David HaMelech. Amasa was the general of Avshalom's army. He's also going to be, he's somebody out there. It's just strange. Anyway, that's the idea behind it. That's that. Vayomer Hushai Tzadok. That was all the Barbanel and the Malbim, by the way. Vayomer Hushai Tzadok of Yasser HaKohanim. So Hushai then spoke to Tzadok and Yasser to the Kohanim. He had his spies, right? This is the advice that Achitovel gave Avshalom, the Zikne Yisrael, and the elders Yisrael. And this is my advice. You got to send a message quickly. And tell David, saying, do not sleep tonight in the wilderness of the desert. You got to get out. Because maybe the king and everybody with him is going to be swallowed up. He didn't know. Hushai Arki had no idea whether his advice was going to be taken or not. So he said, you cannot wait here, because it could be that Achitopol is going to take an army on his own and go and fight David.
What was the point of Hushai's advice to begin with? He should have just told Aviatar.
It's still more risky this way. This is still more risky for him to fight now, because David is embittered. David is running away.
So it gives
he
him
just
more time.
Saw David HaMelech. He needs to give David more time. But just in case, he does need to give the warning. Plus, he didn't know if these guys are going to make it. How does he know that Tzadok and Yasser's kids are going to make it out there?
Right.
How does he know that? You can't take that chance. He says, "V'Yonas and V'Achimatz omdim be'Ein Rogel." Yonas and Achimatz, they were staying by Ein Rogel. V'Holcha Shibcha V'Yigidolahem. Ein Rogel is the site where the women would do their laundry beraglayim. It was the spring where they used their feet to be able to do it. It was right near Yerushalayim. Holcha Shibcha V'Yigidolahem. A Shibcha went and told them. They immediately left. V'Yigidolahem al David. They told the king, "David kiloichel leros lavoha ira." They could not be observed. Right, so that they would go. They didn't actually. So that they would go. They could not be observed coming to the city, because if they were observed coming to the city, everybody would say, "Oh, where are those guys? Where did they come from? Did they just come from where David HaMelech was?" So they stayed toward the edge of the city. A shifcha went to go tell them what they needed to know. Vayaro samnar, but a young man saw them. Saw Yonas and Achimatz running toward David HaMelech. Vayagid Avshalom, he told Avshalom what he had seen. Vayochu shnei mehera, and they both went quickly. Vavol beis ish b'bachurim. They came to a man who lived in Bachurim. Velo be'er b'chatzer v'yerdusham. He had a well in his chatzer, and they went down into the well itself and hid inside the well. So the woman came. The woman. Notice that hay? Notice the hay. Okay? She spread a screen on top of the well. And then she put on top of it ground wheat, you know, something that had to be spread out. And nobody knew there was a well underneath that area. The avadim of Avshalom came to the woman of the house. And they said, the woman said to them, Avru michala moyim. They went by the reservoir right over there. By Vakshu, they searched Vlomato, and they didn't find them. Yeshuv Yerushalayim, and they came right back to Yerushalayim. Well, guess what, guys? Who is the man of Bachurim whose wife is a famous wife, in which they hid right over there? It was Shimi ben Gera's house. The same Shimi ben Gera that cursed out David HaMelech as they were running around. He was the man from Bachurim. It's this man. Even though Shimi ben Gera thought he was cursing out David HaMelech and getting rid of him, and his wife saved Achimatz and Yehonasan. Medrash.
All right.
Well, Medrash, from the simple put, from the fact that it says, the man from Bachurim, we only know one other man in Bachurim, and Ha'isha, the fact that the extra hay is written over there, that's where the Drush comes from.
Every star needs irony, Binyamin, don't you?
You always need irony, especially when it comes to Tanakh with Drushim. Okay, here we go. Pasuk of Aleph. Vayakhori left on. Once they had left after their, you know, once they had gone, Vayalu Me'abair, the guys had gone, so they came up, Achimatz and Yonasan, they came up from the well. Vayelchu, they went, Vayagidul Melech David, they told over to the king David, David HaMelech, Vayomer el David, and then they said to David, notice that? Melech David, and then David. Vayikumu v'ivru mehera samayim. Quickly, get up and cross the river. Ki kocha yat aleichem Achitofel. This is the advice that Achitofel gave. V'yakon David l'chol ha-mesher itov. V'yavru az yardin ador aboker. So they got up and they crossed. They were close by Yerushalayim. They were by Yericho at this time. But now they cross over the Jordan River before the light of morning. An achad lo nedar asher lo avar az yardin. Not even one person left, right? Not even one person remained behind that did not cross over the Jordan River. That was an important point that went over there. Now, David Melech had left Eretz Yisrael officially. He is now no longer called Melech David again. He loses, so to speak, his kingship. That did not mean that Avshalom took the kingship, right? But rather, he's just not known as a Melech David.
Is it
anymore.
Only because he went in exile? Or let's say he was still the king and he was going on a state visit to the king of
Ammon. No, because he went in exile. V'achitovu ro ki lo nesa atzasoi. Achitovu saw that his eitzah was not taken. V'achavosh sechmor, so he saddled his donkey. V'yakam elech al beso, he went back to his house. El iro to his city. V'yatzav el beso, he gave his will to his household. V'yachanak, and he killed himself. committed suicide, hung himself, hanged himself from the rafters.
First time we see in Tanakh somebody committing suicide?
I mean, technically, Uriah Chiti, if he knew that he was supposed
to die.
No,
I'm saying somebody committing, like,
actual suicide.
Killing him.
Yeah. I mean, hold on. Shaul HaMelech technically asked others to kill him because he couldn't.
He fell on the sword in the end. He didn't do anything.
Oh, no, his Nar did, didn't he?
Yeah.
The Nar killed himself.
But the Tanakh says that he fell on the sword himself, right?
Yeah, but the Nar
killed himself after.
Yeah, after he killed Shaul
HaMelech. Shaul died, and then Nar's like, uh-oh. And he killed himself.
Oh, the Nara killed himself, right.
Right.
But that was...
If we really thought about it, we probably could come up with one. But you're right. The Nara, by Shaul HaMelech, he killed himself. He committed suicide. And we asked the question, does he get Olam Haba? Because the Medrash says that he got Olam Haba for killing himself. And we asked, why? Why would he have killed himself? What was the mila of killing himself? That was strange.
Well, maybe he did it L'Shem Shemaim, even if it was wrong.
We said that he wanted to be with Shaul HaMelech, etc.
That's a different set of circumstances.
Yeah, but this is definitely different. It says Vayechanak, Vayamas, he died. Yeah, and it says Vayikavar Bekavaraviv.
He's years away.
Yeah, this is a little bit different. But either way, Vayikavar Bekavaraviv, he was buried in his father's tomb. Achitov was buried in his father's tomb. This is interesting. Abarbanel says that he preferred this than living up to the results of his actions. He knew it was going to happen. Once he saw that advice wasn't taken, he said, how did that happen? It means God wants Avshalom dead and David Melech is going to take over again. I am going to suffer horribly because it's all going to be on me. So I'm not going to have anything for the rest of my life. He'd rather kill himself than put up and take the consequences for his actions himself, which is absolutely unbelievable. He also was worried the following. He was going to be put to death by David Melech. Right? If you're put to death with Merida B'Malchus, which is exactly what he did, he rebelled against the king, and he's going to be put to death. He's not going to kill Avshalom, but he'll kill him. He's going to kill him. If you get killed for Merida B'Malchus, your property no longer goes to your children. So that's why it points out over here, Vayitzav Obeso, by going home and killing himself first, his kids were able to have his money. He was able to inherit to his children himself. However, the Radak says he did lose his chelik in Olam Haba. And we say that Achitofel and Doeg, right, Doeg and Achitofel lost their chelik in Olam Haba. Achitofel did it because of what happened over here. The Medrash says that he got diphtheria. I didn't know what that is. You know what that is? I didn't look it up before.
It's one of the diseases you get the shots for.
Yeah, what is it? I don't even know anymore.
Tdap, that's what the shot is for.
What is it? Where do we get it from? It's so strange.
D-I-P-H.
D-I-P-H.
T-H.
No, D-I-P-H-T-H-E-R-I-A.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Do you have it?
So you don't want infection of the nose and throat easily prevented.
Oh, so that's Vayechanak. He didn't kill himself. He got this choking of the throat and he couldn't breathe.
How did he know? It says that he did that after giving his will, so he knew he was about to die. Then he got sick. How does that happen?
He must have known. That's crazy. Or maybe it got worse. Like maybe it got worse to the point where he just died. I don't know. There's another thing over here.
Who says that?
Miyam always brings a medrash, and it was not brought down by anybody else. It's not in the regular Mikras Gedolos. There's a lot more when it comes down to it. I mean, everybody says that the reason why Achitofel and Doeg lost their chiluk and olhavav is because of gaiva, that they lost because of their ego and they could not handle being second in command, and that was that. He was 33 years old, right, when he died, right, and that's that. It was mida keneged mida. His power was in his power of speech, but he misused it by giving bad advice, and therefore he was strangled to death or lost it through strangulation. That's the idea behind it. Achitofel, listen to this. There's a Gemara, Baba Basra, Kuf Mem Zayin of Adal. Here's what the Gemara says. He gave three words of advice to his kids. Said, number one, do not get involved in fights. Imagine what Achitofel said. Number two, do not rebel against the house of the kingdom of David. Don't rebel against any of Beis David from this point forward. Number three, if the weather on the festival of Shavuos is clear and balmy, then you should plant grains. That's the third one. right? Because the Torah was given on Shavuos, he said that's known for I guess, be able to have the right grains, and that's the best time to be able to go through it.
The first two make sense, like from his life experiences. Where does the third one come from?
It might be that that's why he became so smart. Maybe he had this ability to make money in like the weirdest ways, and he gave them the greatest little bit of advice for them to be able to make parnasa. Maybe that's the third bit of advice, but it is absolutely crazy over here. All right, the David ba Machanaimo, David came to Machanaim, Avshalom Avar Yarden, Avshalom crossed the Jordan River, right? Hu v'chol Yish Yisrael imo, him and all Bnei Yisrael with them. Now, this seems like it was a few days later.
The same Machanaim from Yaakov.
Yeah, from before, the same Machanaim over here on the other side of the Jordan River. Now, it seems very, you mean with the Malachim, right? Yeah. At the end of Parshas Vayetze, right? Yeah, it seems like that. Now, hold on, it seems like this just happened, but no way. Avshalom had to gather for, you know, all the people from all around, had to convince them of this war, bring them all about over here. It seems pretty obvious that he wanted him to do it, right? This must have been later. Says Chazal, it was 6 months later. 6 months later. Six months
after what?
In which since David Melech had run away. For 6 months, David Melech was not in his kingdom. He did not have his kingdom. For 6 months, Chazal say,
so after
he had
after Achimat and Yonatan told him to leave, he went
and
spent 6 months on the other side.
And 6 months on the other side of the Jordan River, technically still in Jewish land. Because remember, they still had Gad, right. Reuben, and Chatzisheva, and Asher were over there.
And what, nobody like, so I'm like, oh, by the way, did you see that the king is like hanging out here? Like, what's going
on? I'm sure that he was gathering forces as much as he could, and he took some people. So which means Avshalom did not have all the 12 tribes, right? But either way, Vesa Amasa, some Avshalom talks Yoav al Tzava. Amasa, Avshalom had put instead of Yoav on top of the army, Amasa ben Ish, Ushmo Yisra Yisraeli. Look at this pasuk. Amasa was the son of a man whose name was Yisra HaYisraeli, Asherbol Avigail Bas Nachash, who was together with Avigail, the daughter of Nachash, Achos Truya, the sister of Truya, Aim Yoav, the mother of Yoav. This is an unbelievably confusing pasuk. David HaMelech had two sisters, Avigail and Tsruya. Those were his two sisters, right?
Avigail.
True. But it is Avigail before. But Avigail and Tsruya were his two sisters. Nachash over here is therefore Yishai. He's known as Nachash because Yishai died without any sins, so he only died because the Nachash convinced other Marishan to eat from the tree, so he had to die that way. Otherwise, he never would have died. So Nachash is there. Maybe Yishai had died in between the last time we mentioned his name and now, which is true, he's killed by the Moavim. So maybe he's now known as Nachash because the only reason why he died is Nachash. We want to mention that the first time he's went around. Maybe. But Avigail, again, Babasra Tesnaim and Aleph. But if we have Avigail and Tsruya, if those are the two sisters, this is the weirdest way of saying that, again, Tsruya is the mother of Yoav. And Asoel, if you'll remember, the one who passed away, and what's his name? And Avisha, right? Avigail had a son whose name was Amasa, and she was married to Yisra Yisraelis. Now, first of all, in Divrei Yamim, he's known as Yisra HaYishmaeli. Not Yisra Yisraeli, right? Yisraeli. So what happens over here? Some say he lived in the territory of Yishmael, and therefore he acquired the name. Or else he resided, he was called the Yisraeli, where he originally was from Yishmael, and then came to live in Eretz Yisrael, something like that. Maybe he was a ger in some way, shape, or form. I have absolutely no idea. Maybe that's the idea behind it. The only time we've mentioned Yisra Yisraeli before is not in the Navi. We've never seen Yisra Yisraeli before. There is a strange medrash that's brought down in the Gemara, and the Radak brings it over here, where Shaul tried to illegitimize David HaMelech's status as a Jew by saying that his great-grandfather, Boaz, married a Rusa Moaviah, and a Moaviah is not allowed to join Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara says, Yisra Yisraeli girded his sword and says, whoever doesn't listen to this halacha will be struck down by this sword. I have a tradition from the court, the Beis Din of Shmuel, that an Ammoni velo Moamonis, Moavi velo Moavis, that a Moaviah and an Ammonia, Ammonis, is allowed to join Klal Yisrael. And he's the one that said that. And he was no Geya Bedover because he married one of Yishai's daughters. He was no Geya Bedover. But they went to him and they accepted it and everything like that. And because he took his sword and acted like a Yishmaeli, he was called Yisra Yishmaeli, even though he was really Yisra HaYisraeli. That's the Radak based on that Gemara over there. But that's unbelievable. There is not a word of that up above. And we've never seen Yisra before. But again, look at this. Amasa ben Ish Ushmo Yisra. This is begging for a drush over here. It's so strange, this whole pasuk. Literally one of the strangest psukim you've ever seen before in your life. And anyway, Vayichan Yisrael v'Avshalom Eretz Gilad. Yisrael and Avshalom camped by the territory of Gilad. Vayikvo Dovid Machanaim. When he came to Machanaim, Shovi ben Nachash Ravs ben Ammon Umachir ben Amiel Milo Dovar Barzil Gilad Miroglin. Shovi the son of Nachash. Remember Nachash, the king of Ammon, right? Who we had fought before. Shovi the son of Nachash came from Rabbah ben Ammon. So some say
maybe
that this Shovi
or his brother.
Well, he never. I should say it differently. Remember how we said that Nachash was the good guy, right? He had helped David HaMelech. He had saved one of his brothers.
Right,
so his son Hanun was the one who cut the half the beards off and half the clothing off and whatever it was. Some say that Hanun did tshuva and therefore he's known as Shovi. And that because he converted or he did tshuva in some way, and that's that. Either way, and he came from Rabbas ben Ammon. Rabbas is the name of the city. Machir ben Amiel from Lo Dovor. We don't know much about Machir ben Amiel. And Barzillai Gilad, who we already met before. He is the old guy who financed most of David HaMelech from Roglim. Mishka v'sapos v'kliyotze v'chitim v'sorim v'kemach v'koli v'pol v'adashim v'koli. They brought all these different things over here. They brought beds. They brought different kalim, right? Earthenware vessels, wheat, barley, flour, roasted grains, polar beans, adashim are lentils, kali are roasted legumes, dvash, chema, tson, shvos, bakar. They brought honey, they brought butter, they brought sheep, they brought cheese from cow's milk. He gishel David al-Am, they brought it to David and the people, asher he told la'achol to eat. Ki amro am roi ba'ayiv et sami b'mibor. They were hungry and tired and weary in the desert, sitting right over there, and they were right around there. Some say that this is right after Yom Kippur. They were walking around with all this stuff, and they had to fight the war, and they didn't have enough food to eat right afterward. That's what he refers. All right, let's start Parak Yud Ches over here. He starts with Yivko David is Amashrito. David Melch then counted the people that were with him. Yosem Aleim Sari Elof and Sari Meos. He made officers of thousands and officers of hundreds right over here. This is what he understood. He understood that there's no way. Oh, the Yerushalmi Rosh Hashanah Parak Aleph is one that says the rebellion lasted for 6 months. David understood that smaller fighting forces were going to win this war because the area was a very strange area. And therefore, if he had smaller fighting forces, he was going to be okay. Vayishlach David to Amash. Shlishis b'yad Yoav, Vashlishis b'yad Avisha ben Tzruya, Achi Yoav, Vashlishis b'yad Itai Agiti. Took a third of them, gave them to Yoav. A third of them, gave them to Avisha ben Tzruya. A third of them, he gave to... It's funny that it calls him the brother of Yoav. So weird. And the third in the hands of Itai Agiti. Vayomar Melech, Yotzo Itai Gamini Amachem. And I'm going to go out with you, but I'm not going to be a general. I'm going to be Stam a warrior. Why? Because I know they're going to be looking for me. I want to fight, but I want to be on the other side, right over there. Now, yeah.
But you should go, David. Aren't you not allowed to do that?
It could be appointed instead of counted. You're right. It does say counted, numbered the people, etc. Maybe he did it one by one or whatever it was, but it could be appointed.
Well, that
he appointed
seems
the people
also,
whatever he needed.
Seems there's be a purpose for the counting here. He's trying to...
Even so, you'd have to
soldiers.
Do it. Even so, they did... You're right. There is an opinion of the Ramban. I think it's the Ramban. I'd have to check it up. That says that if you need it for war, you're allowed to count. It was only because they didn't need it, and that's why, or because Kaddish Baruch Hu told them.
He knows what he's counting. I mean, what's the point?
I'd have to find it. I don't know.
He had like 50 people with him.
No. By this time, he probably more. First of all, 6 months later.
He knows
who
he has.
I think he had a lot more people by this time. Now he actually had an army. So the one thing that didn't make any sense of what Hushai Arki said is that, yeah, you're going to have a lot of people. But David Mel is going to slowly but surely going to be able to grab more people on his side by this time.
Did he get in trouble already once for counting, or is that after?
He did. He got, well, we don't know when that happened. But it is going to be in a later parak. Yeah, that's going to be in a later parak. Okay, that's that. The Barbanel said, again, either he's going to lead him in battle, or it could be he's going to go as a regular soldier. Yomar Amlo Seite, you are not going. He knows the news. If we run away, right, Lo Yisimu Elenu, they're not going to care about us. Even if half of us die, Lo Yisimu Elenu, they're not going to care about us. Kiatu Kamanu Asara, you, Asara Alafim, you are equal to us as 10,000. Some say that was the size of the army. He had a number of 10,000 people in his army at this time. It's better for you to be in the city to be able to help us that way, right? And that way, you'll be able to daven, and we believe in your tefillah. Daven Melech's tefillah, everybody understood. And the Medrash teaches that whenever Yoav went out to battle, Daven Melech daven for him. So we'd rather you daven and sit back and do everything back there. Pasuk Dalav, Yomer Aleim HaMelech, and the king said to him, I said, whatever you guys think is good in your eyes, I'll do. Doesn't sound funny, though. He's just like, all right, I'll stay home. Bye. You guys go. Right, and that's that. The king stood by the front of the gate. And the people went out by hundreds and by thousands. He did this. Right now, according to the Medrash, is when he wrote Tehillim Perek Chaf, Lam Natsach Mizmor LeDavid, Yan Chashem Yom Sore Yisagel Chashem Elokei Yaakov, the one that we say, he said it right there at that time. Then the king commanded the three generals, Yoav, Avishai, and Itai, and he said, La'at li l'nar Rav Shalom, I need you to show a little bit of slowness for Rav Shalom. V'chol am shamu betzavos ha-melech, and all the people heard when the king commanded, it's called Sarmal Dvar Rav Shalom, the king commanded his officers, right, about what would happen with Avshalom. He knew that Avshalom was only the means of heaven to punish him for what he had done, right, with Batsheva and Uriachiti, and he understood that completely. He said, I need you to make sure that everybody understands Avshalom needs to be kept alive. It's not his fault. He's not going to die for his evil. I don't want that in my conscience as well. So the people went out to the fields to greet Bnei. The war was in the mountain of Ephraim itself. Here's a weird thing, guys. How is there a mountain of Ephraim on the east side of the Jordan River? Menashe, Reuven, and Gad are on the east side of the Jordan River, not Ephraim. Why would Ephraim be there? So some say it was Mount Ephraim because Ephraim took their sheep and goats across the Jordan to graze on the other side. So they took a certain area and they said, this is going to be our place, right? Because remember, when the Jews took Eretz Yisrael, one of the things they weren't allowed to do is they weren't allowed to have sheep and goats in Eretz Yisrael. So Ephraim wanted to have sheep and goats, so they kept them on the other side of the Jordan River and bought the land.
Maybe they went across the river to fight in Yar Ephraim.
But why is there a Yar Ephraim? Why is there such a place?
No, it's on the other side.
But why? No. It was on the other side of the Jordan River.
It
was by that. Because later on, David Mel is going to cross the Jordan River. And it just said up above that, what's his name? Avshalom crossed the Jordan River to get to them. There's another answer as well. That's right. Ephraim and Menashe switched parts of their land, says Rashi. There were some parts that were that Menashe was able to take from Ephraim, and Ephraim took from Menashe. After all, we do know that Menashe had a double portion. Some was in Chutzlaritz, and the other parts were in Eretz Yisrael itself. It could be that Ephraim allowed Menashe to have that portion, and therefore Menashe gave some of their portion to Ephraim on the other side.
Wait, but why can't it be possible that the soldiers crossed the river to fight in the Yar Ephraim? But David Mel stayed back, so he still had to cross the Jordan once the war was over.
It would be strange not to say it after we've been saying the whole time they crossed, and then later on we say David Mel crossed over, and we don't mention it at all during this entire army, this entire war. It would just be strange, because again, he's with him.
They don't even, Ephraim is here, we're talking about...
Yeah, it would have to be right around there by Gad, by Machanoim, right, no other place. Look, by Sukkos. Where's Sukkos? You don't have it in that one. Where's Sukkos? No. Is there another one? No. Doesn't matter. Okay. We'd have to see a better map. All right. And it says that, okay. Pasuk Zayin. Vayinakshisham Yisrael lufnei Avdi David. And the people of Yisrael were plagued. Oh, right there. So that's where it is. It's right around there. The phone is right there also?
Yep.
Yeah, it's a phone. Yeah, it's right around there. Okay. Funny. All right. Either way, yeah. By enough for Shomay Am Yisrael, Lifnei Avdi David for the servants of David. V'tishamam Magiva Gedola B'yom Huasrim Olaf. There was a huge plague on that day. 20,000 Jews died. 20,000 Jews in Avshalom side. V'tishamam Muhammad Nafeltes Apnei Kol Aretz. The war then scattered on the face of the land. Now, in that case, once it started scattering, the clear advantage went to David's men. David's men were well experienced in war. They knew exactly what to do, and they had the greatest generals at the time, Yoav and Avishai. There was no question about that. Vayar v'yar, and the woods consumed, la'echo ba'am, it consumed the people, ma'asha achla achar v'yamahu, more than what was consumed by the sword itself. Pretty crazy over here. So out of the Malbin that Barbanel says, they became totally confused and frightened. They sought protection in the forest itself. But Yonas ben Uziel says, while they were in the forest, they were attacked by wild animals. Wild animals started attacking them. Avshalom's fighters went running wildly into the forest, according to another parish, right? And as they ran, they tripped over branches. The Radak says they stumbled onto thorns. They were wounded by the woods more than they were by the sword, but that's not how they died. They just got wounded by them, right? And that's what happened over there. So they were completely destroyed in the middle of the woods themselves. So Avshalom happened to be in front of the servants of David. Avshalom, Rochav El Parod, is riding on a mule. Remember, the mule was the animal at the time that the kings rode upon, because it was sort of not like a horse exactly, not like a donkey. So the mule came underneath a large branch of an oak tree. Of a large oak tree. His head grabbed onto the oak tree, and he was hanging between the heavens and the earth, while the mule continued right on. If you'll remember, Avshalom was a Nazir Olam. He had extremely long hair. So his hair getting caught was not just that. So the Gemara in Sota Yudim Abay says, so why didn't he just cut off a little bit of there? He had a sword in his hands. Just cut it off and fall down and run. Well, he's waiting there. Like, why is he waiting there? Gemara in Sota Yudim Abay says, Gehenim opened up beneath him. He saw it as if he saw Gehenim opening up beneath him. What that really means to say, whether he actually saw Gehenim or not, it means he was standing there and realized the gig is up. He lost. There's no way he's going to win this war, and that means David Melech is going to come in charge. It's going to be horrible for him. So he said, obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was punished for what I did. He accepted his punishment. And that shows a little bit of a mile on his part.
Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, it says that he didn't take his sword to release himself and cut his hair off. He could have freed himself.
That's what I said. That's why he didn't do it. And Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer says he did tshuva immediately. The line over here of what it says, that he was in between the Shemayim and the Aretz, is that he felt he was afflicted in heaven and in earth. There were six people who died because of gaiva. They had tremendous gaiva. One of them was Avshalom, in Sota Tesim Abayz, right? Avshalom was one of them. He prided himself on his long, beautiful hair, and in the end, he was hanged by it. I think it's hanged, right? It's not hung. You hung a book or so, whatever. But it's hanged.
But that's hanged if someone's killing themselves.
Whenever it's a person, it's hanged.
Right, but here he's being hanged by his hair. It's not like
hanged,
he's
right.
Hung by his hair.
Maybe it's hung by the hair because it's not the person, it's the hair. Maybe. I think hanged applies by every
body
human being.
Is being hanging, whereas hanged opposed
when,
to a.
Hanged is when you're hung by a noose, basically.
It's but like something else is that's holding that's, it. No, hold on.
But hanged is the word for a human being. Hung is by anything else but a human being.
I think a human being who is hanging himself with a noose. He was hanging to kill himself. He's
I
not killing
I still think
himself.
The proper English is hanged. I'd have to check it up. I remember this, though. This is like a famous thing, that hanged is only by a human being. It was like one of those Reader's Digest things. That's where I learned almost everything.
Who's killing themselves or is being killed?
Not positive. I remember it being, the line was that whenever it's a human being, it's hanged. Yeah, I forgot exactly what it was. Vayar isha chod vayagid li'ov. And a man saw him, a soldier. He told Yoav. Vayomene re'isis Avshalom told Ba'ila. I found Avshalom. He's hanging on the tree. He didn't want to go himself because, simply put, he didn't want to kill him, right? And he knew Avshalom was powerful, so he didn't want to take him down because then Avshalom could overpower him. Vayomer Yoav le'ish. And Yoav said to the man, Hamagilu told him, Vayomene re'isa, you saw him? Madu lo ikiso shomar, so why didn't you kill him on the ground? I would have given you 10 silver pieces. I would have given you a belt. Now, I understand Yoav's
a fair gun.
Like a belt, yeah. But I understand Yoav's line over here. He's just like, he could have gotten away. What are you thinking?
Mm-hmm. But he had the orders not to kill him.
A man said to Yoav, Luanochi Shokel Kapai Elav Kesi, even if you'd give me 1,000 silver pieces, I'm not killing this prince, the prince, the son of the king. He goes, Nenu Tziva Melechoscha, in our ears, the king commanded you. Vesavisha Vesitai Lamor, Shimrumi Benar Shalom, be careful about my Nar Shalom. Oh, Asisi Benafshi Sheker, maybe I would have acted falsely against my own soul. Nothing would have been held back from the king. You would have stood opposite me. You would be like, yeah, you killed him, right? Wait, you think you would have helped me? Like, you would have been like, oh, I'll give you 10 silver pieces. Yeah, and when the king finds out and he stands to me and says, why did you kill him? I'll be like, Yoav said it was okay. And Yoav's like, I don't know. Like, what do you think is going to happen over here? He sat there and he said, first of all, it's my conscience. Number two, David's going to discover the truth. Number three, listen, Avshalom is not the... I'm not going to go up against Avshalom. I'm not going to do it when he came right over here. Okay, that's the idea behind it. The idea of... Right, there is another thing over here regarding Rodef about whether or not he could maim him regarding over here. Maybe Yoav was not asking that he should have killed him, but he should have maimed him and hurt him in some way. Anyway, Yom Yoav Lochein, right? It is not right, Ochil Lefanecha, that I beg this in front of you. Okay, I'm going to do it myself. He took 3 rods in his hand, and he stuck them into the heart of Avshalom, who was still alive in the heart of the oak tree itself. I'm going to do it myself, and I'm going to take care of it. I did it with it, and he did it with his own hands. Now, it says the 3 spears were because he stole 3 hearts, his father's, his nation's, and that of Sanhedrin itself. The fact that he allowed this to happen and went against David HaMelech was another form of rebellion that Yoav did over here. He knew why he had to do it. He knew, because Avshalom was always going to be a threat from this point on, and not just over here. Shlomo HaMelech is going to become king, and Avshalom is going to be a major threat to Shlomo HaMelech. I cannot allow him to be there, right? In the end, it could be that David HaMelech understood it, because when he complains about Yoav and tells Shlomo HaMelech to kill him, he never mentions anything about killing Avshalom. He never mentions it. At the time, he didn't want him killed, but at the end, he realized this was probably the best thing. Then 10 youths, Yoav's weapon bearers, came by Yaakov's Avshalom and Yemisuhu. They hit Avshalom, and they actually killed him. Now, whether or not Yoav's three spears to the heart didn't kill him, or at least was killing him.
Why is Yoav so worried about Shlomo? At the end of the day, Yoav goes with Adoniel. So what's Yoav's concern about Shlomo here?
Maybe at the time he's still concerned. Maybe at the time. Maybe later on he goes
for any actual successor.
The successor, yeah, maybe you're right. The next successor. It seems, obviously, because Avshalom had violated the 10 concubines, therefore he got the 10 spears from these 10 people in his heart. There's no question. Obviously, violating the command of the king is like you're over on the 10 commandments. You could say there's 10 commandments over here. Some say right over here, Avshalom lost his share in the world to come, and that's what it means. They killed Avshalom. Yaakov was Avshalom, v'yemisu. They hit Avshalom, and they killed him, meaning he was fully dead, not only in this world, but in the next world itself.
Where does it say
right?
The mission doesn't say Luzulam Haba.
No, because David Melch Davin's form in the next parak. But otherwise, he would have lost it if not for what happens over here. We're going to say right over here. The question is, was Avshalom actually able to be killed? It may be that Yoav felt halachically that he had to kill him because somebody who went rebelling against the king cannot pardon his honor. So even though the king asked for him to be killed, he held halachically a king can't be mocha on his kavod. Therefore, he wasn't allowed to say this, and there's nothing
second,
he could do over
the
here.
King commanded him not to do it, so he's being over on, he's being martyred to mouth.
Correct.
Killing Avshalom.
But he may have thought that it's halachically incorrect. And remember, you don't have to do something that the king tells you to do something that's halachically incorrect. That was actually his argument as to why he doesn't want to count the people later on. And he was right about that. It's also the reason why Shaul HaMelech, when he told the people to kill Novir Kohanim, Shaul HaMelech said that to them, nobody would do it except for Doi Gadomi, because the people said, we don't have to listen to you if it's against halacha. So it could
right,
be that that's what
case,
I thought over here.
He wasn't asking, in those cases, they're being commanded to do something that's against halacha. Mm-hmm. In this case, it's the cover of the king versus the cover of the king. So they kind
of the king versus the tzivui of the king. And the tzivui of the king may have been a mistake. It was emotional as opposed to what the king really should have done.
The king tied to his honor? Unless the tzivui is to
so
do something
strange, right? The tzivui, not against the Torah, but against him.
No, I know that. I'm saying, like, fine, the other cases where he's told
yeah,
to.
Yeah, but against him.
Right,
when the tzivui is against him, then it may be that the covet of the king is not to listen to the king. Anyway, Yoav could definitely make an argument that way.
And
there's no question he can make that argument.
He told all the soldiers knew that don't kill Avshalom. So by going, it wasn't like a private thing. By going against the king,
he's showing that he's going against
the king
him completely.
By saying,
I hear that. I definitely hear it. Is there an argument that could be made, though? That's the point. Could there be an argument that he makes over here? So let's finish off a couple more. Yiska Yoav b'shofar. Yoav blew on the shofar. Yoav amir dovach for Yisrael. And then all the people stopped chasing after Bnei Yisrael. Ki chosach Yoav is on. Because Yoav restrained them by maybe blowing on the shofar. Yichos Avshalom. He took Avshalom. Yishlichos Obayar. They threw him in the forest. All pachas a gadol to a huge pit. That's Yoav l'galavani. They put a huge pile of stones on him. Gadol ma'oid. V'chol Yisrael nasu Yishlo alav. And everybody fled, each man to his tent itself. Now why? Because they were worried. Number one, he was murdered. They wanted to disgrace him by not burying him in the royal tombs. That's the reason why. When everybody ran away, they were embarrassed for joining the conspiracy. All of a sudden, they looked up and they're like, what were we thinking? Why did we do this? And they ran away discreetly to their tent. They weren't subsequently punished. As we say, somebody who's embarrassed for what they did, I guess true remorse, there was considered real tshuva over here. And we'll end with this pasuk. Pasuk Yud Ches. V'Avshalom lokach. Avshalom was taken, right? V'yatzav lo b'chai v'smatzev z'shev e'emek ha-melech. So while Avshalom was alive, right, he had commanded in his lifetime to make a monument in the Valley of the Kings. I have no son to remember my name. Some say he did have children. Some say he did have children, but his children were not following in his ways and they were bad people. Or he did have children and they died. But he said, I have no child, so I'm going to make something for myself. He called the Matzevas on his own name. It's still called Yad Avshalom somewhere around there. We have no idea, but he wasn't buried there. He was buried in the wood of Ephraim and right over there. The Radak says he eventually was reburied at this memorial, right?
Place,
and he was reburied right over there.
That
could be the original one they made. But either way, it could be around there. And the Abarbanel says the irony of his grandeur. He thought that he was so great that he could make his own thing. And look what happened right over here. That's that behind it. We just said above that Avshalom did not have anybody, either they weren't worthy or they died prematurely. That's in Sota Yud Aleph on Beis. That's what it meant over here. Bechayav, by the way, it says over here, Bechayav is written with one Yud instead of two Yuds, which it really should be, really, because again, he lost 10 years of his life for having relations with 10 of his father's concubines right over here, right? And that's that. Some say the Yad Avshalom is right there, and tradition has it, the Mesorah is that the Yad Avshalom is a structure that exists today at the base of Har HaZeisim in the valley east of Har HaMoriah.
There is
still there.
Structure there called the Yad Avshalom.
I don't remember ever seeing it. I really don't remember seeing it.
You've ever seen, driven by the east wall of Har HaBayit?
For sure, yeah.
So it's right there.
There's maybe two, I just never noticed. I never took a tour in Harizeh.
There's like a tour of Zechariah. I've done
Tomb of Zechariah? It's right by Zechariah?
It's right next to Zechariah.
Oh, then I know where it is. I just never noticed it. All right, we'll stop right here. We're right by Pasuk Yud Tes. We'll stop right here. Shkai, guys.